I have a question for you. What is righteousness and how does it work? The reason why I'm asking is because righteousness is one of the most misunderstood things, although highly respected in Christianity. But much of Christianity has a misunderstanding of righteousness. So what is righteousness and how does it work? Now, I'm going to give you the Webster's definition of righteousness. It's very similar to the theological definitions. And I'm going to do that because this is the common understanding of righteousness. It says here that righteousness is a purity of heart and rectitude of life, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Righteousness, as used in scripture and theology, in which it is chiefly used, is nearly equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affections of the heart, and conformity of life to the divine law. It includes all we call justice, honesty, and virtue with holy affections. In short, it is true religion. Now, if you ask the average believer who is a faithful church attendee, who has a pastor that preaches the Word of God, you would probably get a definition similar to this, and if they heard this definition, they would say pretty good. And I'm not saying that it's not good, I'm just saying that it's missing something that absolutely is necessary for us to truly understand our relationship to righteousness and really what righteousness is. The righteousness as is defined there, as most people understand it, that definition has a significant issue. It's a righteousness that people can enter into in and of themselves through religious effort. Religious effort doesn't cut it with God. God is not interested in religious effort. And so when it says purity of heart and rectitude of life and conformity to the divine laws, a lot of people mistakenly think that their righteousness is found in how well they conform to the laws of Moses. But Jesus gave a new law in John 13:34 that we love one another as he has loved us. That is the law now. He was the fulfillment of the Mosaic law. And when he fulfilled it, he removed it. Now that law still applies to whom it was written to. That is to say, that law still applies to nations. It does not apply to individuals. So yes, Mosaic law, nations, yes. You will find good order. You will find all the things a nation needs to be blessed in the Mosaic law. But nations are not individuals. Christ fulfilled the righteousness of the law and removed it for individuals. So for us, it's not a question of Mosaic law. Our righteousness is not found in conformity to Mosaic law. Romans 3:22 says that the righteousness that we possess is the righteousness of God, of Christ. Romans 1:17 says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That, by the way, was written in Habakkuk 2:4. Now, here's the thing. If righteousness is my focus, then I will not possess righteousness. That seems a little bit counterintuitive, but bear with me, you'll understand in a moment. If righteousness is my focus, if righteousness is my goal, I will not have righteousness. Because as a goal, righteousness is not achievable. Now, there's one thing that Webster points out, and a lot of people would understand the Webster definition as being the definition that is right. He says here that it is nearly equivalent to holiness. Now, that is the way that a lot of people see righteousness. And I'm not criticizing Webster. I think Webster, the 1825 version, which is what I'm reading from right now, is really very good. But, just like so many theology books, and it's not a theology book, it's a dictionary, just like so many theology books, there are some areas where they're really strong, and there's some areas where they can use some help. Holiness is seen as being perfection. So righteousness is almost viewed as human perfection, albeit knowing that humans cannot be perfect. So we have a little bit of a conundrum here. This is not righteousness. Righteousness is not perfection. Righteousness is not conformity to law. It's either by grace or the law. It's not by grace and law. It's not by law, because then it's not by grace. It is of grace, and therefore it is not of law. Now, grace and faith are connected. In Romans 5:2, we enter into grace by faith. It is of grace that it might be of faith. We know that grace and faith are connected. In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed. That's a really interesting way to put it. Because righteousness that is not revealed, is it righteousness at all? And I would have to say no. Just like faith that possesses no manifestation, James said, is a dead faith. And so righteousness must be revealed, but how is it revealed? It's revealed from faith to faith. In other words, the Word of God produces faith in us in Romans 10:17, and when we respond because of the faith that's produced in us, and the bottom line definition, even what's behind the Hebrews 11:1 definition, there is something behind that, and Romans 10 goes into this. The bottom line definition is that I'm thinking with God. I'm thinking with the mind of Christ by means of the Word of God. I'm thinking with the Word of God. Young people, I want you to particularly understand this. It's very important that you learn how to think with the Word of God. That means you need to receive the Word of God. You need to be taught in the Word of God. You need to have fellowship with your Bible. When people went to church in Thessaloniki, people should bring their Bible to church and follow along. They checked out what Paul was telling them. And Paul said, you did well to check it out. Some people would say, what do you mean you're checking out what I'm telling you? No, you should be checking out what I'm telling you. Paul said that to his church. I say that to my church. Any good pastor will say that to his church. You should check out what I'm telling you. See it in the scriptures. That's one of the reasons why we are careful to give chapter and verse. Check out what we're telling you. Now, the righteousness of God is revealed when the Word of God produces faith in me, and the Word of God thereby becomes my frame of reference, and I make decisions, that is to say, I apply the decisions that I make, the application, is according to the Word of God. So I believe the Word of God and I decide accordingly to what I believe. I believe every doctrine in the Word and my decisions are based on those doctrines, using recovery when I fail. Nobody's ever going to be 100%, but we can catch ourselves and correct ourselves. And that is what we do. Sometimes if we slip, if we don't do it right, we catch ourselves, we correct ourselves, then we don't worry about it anymore. If somebody else slips, well, we recognize that and we don't worry about it. We recognize that we are humans and we are not only tolerant of, but loving of each other's humanity. So, you apply the Word of God because you have the Word of God. That's what it means, faith to faith. Word of God in my frame of reference to Word of God in application, in my decisions. Faith to faith. That's how the just live by faith. Now here's the thing. If I have a righteousness that is of a religious nature, in other words, if I have a righteousness that comes from within myself, my own effort, then I no longer have righteousness, but rather I have self-righteousness. Because it's no longer proceeding from the Word of God, but it's proceeding from the way that I see things. What I see is righteous, what I see is just, what I see as correct, how I interpret things. It's a very self-oriented righteousness because it stems from self. That righteousness is unrighteousness. A lot of people can live in the notion of righteousness, but yet completely deceived and actually live in unrighteousness. They believe they're being righteous, but they're being highly unrighteous. The ultimate result of that is that with me being the source of my righteousness, I now evaluate how I will respond to the Word of God. I now evaluate what I will apply and what I will not apply. I become the basis of the interpretation of the Word of God, which is called private interpretation. Well, there's nothing about the Word of God where it's okay to have private interpretation. The Word of God interprets itself. Paul said to Timothy, "Study to show yourself a workman who needs not to be ashamed, so that you can be approved." What did it mean? Study the Word of God. Get to know the Word of God. Why? Because that's where your faith comes from. Without a faith response to God and His Word, and if it's a faith response to God, it must necessarily be a faith response to His Word. Without that, in Hebrews 11:6, it's not possible in any way to please God. I can't be right with God unless I have the Word of God. I can't be right with God unless the Word of God takes over my frame of reference, which requires mixing faith with what I hear in Hebrews 4, 2 and 3. I can't be right with God unless I decide on the basis of my frame of reference in the Word of God. So a person who is entering into self-righteousness, they're no longer going to evaluate according to the Word of God. They're going to evaluate according to what they personally consider to be good or evil. And therein is the problem. Satan evaluated according to good and evil, what he perceived in his own private interpretation as good and evil in Ezekiel 28. That's why in Ezekiel 31:18, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was Satan's tree. So if I'm evaluating and I look at something about my life, your life, or a situation, what have you, and I say, this is good, or I say, this is evil, I'm evaluating out of self-righteousness. In self-righteousness, I have no fellowship with God whatsoever. I cannot establish salvation in self-righteousness because salvation comes by grace, which comes by faith, through faith. And so faith comes by the hearing of the word. There's nothing about self-righteousness incorporated in salvation. That package does not include self-righteousness. But the person who's trying to establish himself in self-righteousness, and there are a certain percentage of people who call themselves Christians who do try to establish their life on self-defined righteousness. What is good? What is evil? What is according to divine law? What is against divine law? The Pharisees were like this. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know, it's fine, you tithe and all this stuff, but you know what? You forget the weightier matters of the law. Mercy. That's the big one, mercy. You forget mercy. You forget judgment, which is the manifestation of the finished work of Christ. Judgment was carried out on Christ. They also forget love, because mercy is an expression of love. They forget all the things that God is in self-righteousness. When people say self-righteousness, okay, yeah, okay, so they're a little puffed up. No, you don't get it. It's not just a little puffed up. It's the wrong kingdom. Self-righteousness, Psalm 94:20, is the wrong kingdom. There's a reason why the throne of iniquity, self-orientation, works mischief by the law. Because the law becomes its source of righteousness, and therefore its righteousness is apart from Christ, from faith. Christ is our righteousness, faith is its manifestation. And they try to enter into holiness without recognizing what holiness actually is. And if you ask a lot of people, not everybody, but if you ask a lot of people, they'll say, well, holiness is sinless perfection, right? It's the perfection of God. So why did Jesus say, be holy as I am holy? Because that is an impossible task that God gave us, something that we cannot possibly achieve, if that's what it means. But yet he said he won't give us anything that we're not able. So how does that work? Holiness is the nature of God. Don't think of it as perfection. We have absolutely no grounds whatsoever, no standard is even remotely possible by which God can be evaluated regarding perfection. We cannot evaluate God. God evaluates us. That's where things really went south in heaven when Lucifer started to try to evaluate God. The result was he got kicked out like lightning. Why? What are you going to evaluate him with? He is infinitely beyond us. How are you going to evaluate him? What standard, what thought can even evaluate God? It's such a stupid thought, really. But yet, that's what people do. They say, well, it's God's perfection. By what standard? Holiness doesn't touch perfection. Two separate things altogether, and they don't meet. And I'm not saying God's not perfect. I'm just saying, how can you make a statement whereby you evaluate God? Don't even go there. I'm saying holiness is the nature of God. The character of God reveals the nature of God. The character of God is love. His nature is holiness. In the same way that the righteousness of God in us is revealed from faith to faith, that is to say, possessing faith in our frame of reference through the Word of God, thinking with the Word of God, and then applying that faith because the Word of God is in our frame of reference, in that same manner, love reveals holiness. The character of God reveals the nature of God. For us, righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. With God, His holiness is revealed by His character, His love. So if we're talking about be holy as I am holy, that's another way of saying John 13:33, love one another as I have loved you. That's all it is. But righteousness in and of itself is not something a person is capable of revealing. So we have to check that also. Righteousness is not, as so many people in dictionaries say, merely right standing with God. I know that's the definition. I'm not saying it's not related. I'm saying it's not complete. Righteousness is the relationship you have to Christ, whereby He produces right standing with God in you. So righteousness is a relationship to Christ. It is not an evaluation of good or evil, right and wrong, holy, unholy, anything like that. Righteousness is a relationship with Christ. And its greatest expression, because of Galatians 5:6b, that love energizes, gives life to faith, the greatest expression of righteousness is by faith we love. That's why it's the new commandment. By faith we love. By faith we reflect the character of God. That is the ultimate application of the Word of God. That is the ultimate manifestation of faith in the believer. We love one another as He has loved us. When a person has that, then they are manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in them, which brings them to that expression of righteousness. If people understood righteousness, then a whole lot in the Christian church would be set right. A whole lot of negativity, contention, schisms, even attacks are sourced in self-righteousness, which is exactly what Lucifer fell into in Ezekiel 28:15-18. And in Isaiah 14:13-14, he expressed it in his rebellion against God. And self-righteousness ultimately does that. Self-righteousness ultimately is a rebellion against a relationship to Christ, against God, because you are trying to establish what is essentially a government of self. And God has none of it. God's not interested in a government of self. He's already got a government. It's called grace in Hebrews 4:16. is not interested in a government of self. Watch out for this righteousness issue. It's often misunderstood. It's often used wrong. And because it's misunderstood, the application of it is not a godly application in some cases. Righteousness in its bottom line form, a relationship to Christ that is built on the love of God through the Word of God. Sit right there. Everybody understand that? Very important as Christians for us to understand righteousness, because it leads to a lot of problems when we don't. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."